Welcome to Island Baptist Church. Bill's lesson today is in Luke chapter 11, titled Prayer Diagram, Part 15, Lead Us Not Into Temptation, Part 1.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 11. We have actually, if you were with us 2.5 months ago, that's where we were, where we had been for previous 2 years. And we took a brief excursion for the past 2 months on a needed topic, which is what is prayer? And what is Jesus' teachings on prayer? In fact, we got that place, jumping off place here in Luke 11, the first four verses. And so we got to get back to where we were. And then the past 7 weeks, we've been looking at this, I guess you could say, road hump in the prayer that Jesus taught, which is we have to be able to forgive others. Otherwise, it impedes our ability to experience forgiveness day to day. Damages our relationship day to day, and it is a big deal. So we're back now to the well-beaten path of Luke, and we're ready to look at what happened here that started all this, if you will. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. This is the second time, if you've been with us, this is the second time in Jesus' ministry that he teaches on prayer. The first time, of course, we've been spending most time over there in Matthew 6, which is what we call classically the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. This is the second time, probably 6 months, 8 months later. Jesus' whole earthly ministry, only 3 years, so it's all crammed together. But the disciples heard him teach before, didn't pay a lot of attention. Apparently now they're getting pretty serious, and they're realizing, hey, we better figure this out. And so notice what they say. It came about while he, Jesus, was praying in a certain place. After he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples to pray. Notice he doesn't say, listen, if you've been paying attention, you know, 6 months ago, I wouldn't have to do this. No, Jesus is very kind with us. How many times have you ever, how long ago did you learn the Lord's Prayer? If you're like me, you grew up in church. I mean, I don't know when I didn't know the Lord's Prayer. But I've learned so much just in our time together. One of the things I love to do as a teacher, preacher, is I get to learn. I really do. And some of you say, oh, I've heard people say, oh, you're so smart, Bill. Yeah, I'm smart because I'm just 1 week ahead of you. That's all. But 2 weeks ago, I didn't know what you don't know now, what you know now. So, we're learning together. Pray at a certain place. Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And then this final clause that we're going to be spending time on to finish it up. Lead us not into temptation. Final clause, lead us not into temptation. We're there, but before we can dive into that meaning, we won't be able to do that today just because we need to back up. We've been a while out of prayer looking at one of the particulars of prayer, which is our ability or our necessity to forgive those who sin against us. Back into prayer now before we can get into the details of it, we need to back up and say, wait a minute, what is really prayer about? Because our tendency is to not think correctly about prayer. Jesus has to teach his disciples twice, and he gives the same model every time with particular details, not exactly the same, but the same model. And yet, do we pray that way? Do you follow his model? Jesus isn't just giving you one way to pray, he's giving you the way to pray. Again, it's a model. This is an outline. You're supposed to fill this in, but don't you notice how short it is? Not a ton of elements here. The original Lord's Prayer only has six clauses. There's six requests in there, and we're gonna consider those today. But Jesus, for the most part, goes right against what we think about prayer and what we want to accomplish in prayer when he teaches on prayer. Jesus doesn't think like us. That surprised you? Anybody? Jesus doesn't go with our idea of what prayer ought to be. Does that surprise anybody? Starting with the first three prayer requests, they have nothing to do with us. Well, actually, they do. But they're not the way we pray. When I come to Jesus, I have my stuff that I want to bring to him. Jesus says, no. No matter how important your stuff may be to you, it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is God's glory, God's kingdom, God's will. Again, he's not making a suggestion. He's telling you. I don't care what it is. And believe me, everything that's on your heart, everything that bothers you, everything that is important to you is important to God, but God is just trying to help you. Hey, listen. The most important thing is that you focus on these things. These are priority for us. They have to be priority. They have to be priority in our thoughts. They have to be priority in our lives. They have to be priority in our prayer. But we approach prayer as a means to get what we want, not what the Bible teaches, not what it teaches. And when we don't get what we want, we hold God hostage with it. We get mad. We're like children. You got all kinds of things that matter for your kids. You're a parent. You care for them. You have their whole day, their whole lives planned out. And you're in the aisle at HEB, and they want candy. And they'll fall apart. If you don't give them, maybe yours weren't like mine. If you don't give them candy, why? Because their whole life is focused on that. That's what matters. If you don't give it to us, you don't love us. You don't care about what's going on in our lives. We are just like a bunch of kids. God says, listen, I know what I'm doing. Here's what you need to focus on. Here's what matters. There's a time for candy. There is. And there's a time to do the things that matter the most. We try to hold God hostage. Like I say, we say these things. We hear it from these televangelists all the time. If you pray in faith, God will do whatever you ask. And that's way out of context. Here's the context, guys. Context is very specific. John 15:7, if you remain in me, that's an if, not a given. That means it's real possible for you not to do that. That's intentional. That's a directional thing for you. If you do that, and my words, that's another big if, remain in you. So I'm not walking with Jesus, and I'm not spending time with him, and I'm not praying, but I'm supposed to come to him, and he's supposed to do whatever I ask, right? Like I said, tell me how you're different than your kids wanting candy. Tell me how you're different. Tell me how you're better. No, he says, listen, you know me, remain in me, remain in my words, ask whatever you wish, not until then, and it will be done for you. It's very conditional. Very conditional. Again, we want to hold God hostage with our prayer life. We think somehow faith is based on whatever we dream up. Listen, faith in something that God didn't say is not faith. It's just fantasy. Faith is based on God's, what he's revealed in his word. Do you know what his word says? I've been saying several times, where do you get your theology from? Where do you get it from? Make sure it's the Bible. Well, I'm not really sure of the Bible. You're not really sure what the Bible says? So God has told you what he wants and what he likes and what he doesn't like, and you're not reading this? And yet you expect to be able to go to God and pray a prayer of faith. It's going to be tough. So faith comes from hearing what? And hearing on the word of Christ. See, God's not obligated to keep something he did not say. You didn't do what you said. Are you sure he didn't say it? Are you sure that he did say it? So you don't even know. How can we pray a prayer of faith? We want to hold God hostage for what we think he said, when in fact, if we do abide in him and his word abides in us, then we won't be asking necessarily for Mercedes. You know what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with that request, but where does it say God will give you Mercedes if you ask him? Now, the televangelists will tell you that. The Bible doesn't tell you that. Your faith has to be based on God's revealed word. It's, you know, we pray prayers like this student who turned in his test paper, and he turned around walking away saying, oh God, I pray that London is the capital of France. Please let it be. Sorry, that's not a prayer he's answering. Yeah, if you don't know what you're talking about, really you can't hold God hostage for stuff that God hasn't promised. It's like the little boy who was writing a letter to God on Christmas. He's instead of writing a letter to Santa about his presents, he's writing a letter to God, and he writing a letter, God, please give me these presents. I really need them, and I've been a good boy, he says. 6 months. And he thought for a minute. Yeah. Scratched out six, wrote in 3 months. Thought for a minute. Wrote in 1 month. Thought for a minute. Scratched out 1 month, wrote in 2 weeks. I've been a good boy, he says, for 2 weeks, God, please give me these presents. Then he thought for a minute. Scratched that out, wrote in 2 days. I've been a good boy for 2 days. Thought for a minute. Scratched out the 2 days. There was a manger scene sitting over there underneath the Christmas trees, Christmas time. Went over and got the Virgin Mary. Came back and started writing. Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again. How are we different from our kids? God, if you'll do this, I'll be in church. You should be in church. Don't hold God hostage. I'll do what's right. Really? How are you different than your kids? How? We have to approach God with the knowledge of what he said and believe him. He will honor what he says. Why does God teach us to pray about his first, his glory, his kingdom? He's just his will. He's just trying to help us. He's just trying to help you. Why do you come to God in prayer? I come because I need help. Or someone else needs help. And so when Jesus was asked, teach us to pray, he's just simply saying, let me help you. Here's the things that need to be priority. My will, my kingdom, my glory, always these are priority. If they will be priority, hear me, they will answer so many of your prayers. They will settle so many issues for you. If you'll let God's priorities be your priorities. This is a very short prayer. Notice, this just two verses, two and a half. That's all it is. Just two and a half. This is an outline. This is not a full prayer necessarily. You're supposed to fill this in. Doesn't mean we should pray nothing but short prayers. But notice, it's so simple. It's not difficult. The priorities of God are very simple. Just three things. His will, his kingdom, his glory. Make those priority. They will settle so many issues for you. They will settle so many issues for us if we'll just simply keep them in front of us. God's will, God's glory, God's the most important thing for us. But we disagree. So Jesus has given us the way to pray, but you don't pray that way. Let me just say this to you. If you continue to do what you do, you'll continue to get what you got. Jesus is not giving suggestions here. He's saying, this is how you do it. But we're just like sheep, right? Jesus teaches us how to pray. Then when he teaches us how to pray, we say, oh, that's not the way you do it. This is the way you do it. Really? This is sheep. Sheep are just, you know what they are. They have a superpower. You know what that is? Being dumb. That's their superpower. That's what they are. Jesus calls us sheep. Why? Because he knows what we're like. Jesus teaches us how to pray. Show us which way to go. And then when he shows us, well, that's not the right way. Just incredibly dumb, aren't we? Amazingly dumb. We have to keep his priorities as our priorities. Don't wait till it feels right. Don't wait. In fact, if anything, for a sheep like me, if it feels wrong, it's probably the right way to go. Because my first guess is the wrong guess. Well, I think I should probably go this way. Well, then that's probably not the way to go. Probably this way. I think I should probably do this. Well, that's probably not the thing you should do. You probably should do this. Because why? My tendency, my sinful nature lies to me. Our hearts lie to us. Do not listen to your heart. It's a lie of our culture. Your heart is a deceitful thing. It will deceive you. It will tell you stuff that's not right. You have to know. That's why he says, abide in me. Abide in my word. Abide in me. Abide in my word. Then you'll know what my will is. Do it. Don't wait till you feel good about it. Just do it. But in asking him how to pray, we're implying that we don't know how. Isn't that true? So you got to start there. See, the problem is we don't come to prayer with a blank slate. We come to prayer thinking we already know how to do it. And Jesus says, no, you don't. Listen to me. Pay attention. There's a model for you. This model needs to fit into all your prayers. This way of thinking, this way of doing it, this process has to fit in there. It's not a bidding process. Jesus isn't, oh, Jesus, I need you to submit a bid on how to pray. So I got a bid from my mom and from my pastor and from another guy I really like, and then we're going to put them all together. We'll see what I'll let you know if you win. It's not a bid, guys. Jesus is not giving you a way to pray. He's giving you the way to pray. Pay attention to what he's teaching us here. Two levels of request. First, request of priority, his kingdom, his will, his glory. He's doing this first. He's just trying to help us. These have to be priority. They'll answer so many requests that you already have, so many issues they already have. First, three requests of priority, and then three requests of humility. How much humbling can it be to ask God every day to feed you? Feed me. Feed me. Sound like your kid? God wants you to know where your standing is. Never says you're an adult. It always says we're children of God, right? Never adults of God. Never. You're always a child. Take your proper place so that God can take his. Feed me, God. Give us this day our daily bread, right? Forgive me, God. Protect me, God. That's humbling, isn't it? Humbling, why? Because, again, he's just trying to help us. We go to God, in prayer, what do? We're trying to help. I need help, the world needs help, something. So the best thing you can do for yourself, the best thing you can do for your world, is offer yourself as a humble person. Humble yourselves. You really want to help your world? Want to help your family? Want to help your kids? Want to help your parents? Want to help your job? Want to help yourself? Humble yourself. That's why he teaches us these humiliating prayers. Feed me, protect me, forgive me. We need humility. Jesus teaches this dependency, whereas we come to God typically in prayer asking truly for independency. I'm independent, God. I'm doing fine. I just need your help on this one issue. Please, God, if you will answer this, I will leave you alone. How many prayers that we pray are classed just like that? That's the way you pray. I'll just leave you alone. That's the last thing God wants for you, is for you to leave him alone. Back to the whole sheep thing. Sheep cannot be left alone. Anybody ever raise sheep? You cannot leave a sheep by itself. I've said this before, but you show me a sheep that's by itself, and I will show you a sheep that will be dead by morning. They can't protect themselves. They have no fangs. They have no reasonable horns. They have no camouflage. I mean, how is white, unless it's snowing, white is not a camouflage. They can't do anything, and then they have no brains, none. So even if they had these gifts of protection somehow, they would not know how to use them. The sheep cannot be left alone. So when we come to God looking for independency, that's the last thing that God's going to give you. God, if you'll just give me a fix, this area, I'll be good. See, God is saying to you, you're not good in any area. You need me constantly. So why would I give you this quote-unquote fix? Why would I do that? How many prayers do we have? Looking for independency when God is saying, listen, you need dependency, depending on me. I read this prayer recently. I thought it was really good. This is what it says. Dear God, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy or grumpy or nasty or selfish or overindulgent, he said. And for this, I'm very thankful. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of this bed. And from here on, I'm really going to need your help. Wow. Well, that's real prayer. That's real prayer. Not independency, but dependency. We come at prayer the very opposite of the way Jesus teaches prayer. It's one of the interesting things, observations that I made, and I want to present it to you because I think it's important. Is that there's not a single request in the Lord's Prayer that requires an answer. You notice that? Most of the time we're coming to God in prayer, we're looking for answers, right? Jesus gives us 6 requests that require no answer. Feed me. Where's the answer for that? Forgive me. Glorify yourself. Your kingdom come. Isn't he already going to do all those things? Your will be done. They don't require an answer. Most of the time when I'm coming to God in prayer, I'm looking for answers. I'm not saying you shouldn't come that way. And let me just say this. Jesus is going to follow this prayer here in Matthew in Luke 11. He's going to follow this with several stories about how we need to persist in prayer, seeking answers from God. So hear me carefully. I'm not saying don't search for an answer. I'm just saying Jesus takes 6 prayer requests in a model prayer. I would say he doesn't fill in every issue of prayer, every fine detail of prayer. That's your job. He gives you major headings, and not one of those major headings needs a response from him. Not one. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? How do we typically pray? Like, how do we normally teach to pray? God answers prayer, right? How does he answer? Yes, no, and what? Wait. We always talk about answers. Answers are what matter, right? Jesus teaches on prayer and seems to say answers aren't the big thing. Answers are not the big thing. Here's part of the problem with searching for answers is if that's all you're doing. Again, what are you searching for? You're searching for independency. It's like a filling station. I'm running out there fine, God, but occasionally I need to be filled up. And God's answer to you is, no, you can't live without me. Just occasional fill up every once in a while. You're missing the whole purpose of prayer. You're missing the whole intent. You're missing the things that Jesus is teaching us. He's trying to teach us something, and it's mind-blowing. Of all the things that he teaches us, he doesn't give us not one of those things that matter the most as anything that needs an answer. Not one of those things. Of six prayer requests doesn't require an answer from God. In fact, if anything, he's already answered them in the scriptures. Here's the reason. I think it's summed up really well by a guy by the name of Oswald Chambers. Look at what he says. This is critical. What is the purpose of prayer? Man, does he ever state it here. The purpose of prayer is not that we get a hold of an answer. That's searching for independency. I'm fine, God. I just need occasional pick-me-up. No. Free Jesus' teaching on prayer is dependency. Not that you get a hold of an answer, but that we get a hold of God. Your kingdom, Father. Your glory, Father. Your will, Father. Feed me, Father. Forgive me, Father. Protect me, Father. Don't require answers. But we always go after answers. When in fact, the most important thing, again, I'm not saying don't. I mean, there's requests, right? Make all kinds of requests. Here it is. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Go ahead and ask for a Mercedes. Go ahead. No promise he'll give it to you. But he wants you to come to him. He already knows what's on your heart. You might as well tell him. Make a request, but I want you to notice something. You're very careful here. He's going to say, notice, the peace of God, which transcends not the answers of God. Isn't that interesting? How many of you sitting here today think that if God would give you an answer on something, your life would be much better? The Bible never says that. I'm not saying don't search for answers. I'm not saying God doesn't answer us. I say he does it within his will and his time, and sometimes he never answers us. Not in this life. Notice, the peace of God, not the answers of God, which transcends all understanding, not an answer, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to the shepherd and sheep analogy. The sheep come to the shepherd, they want answers. The shepherd doesn't always give them answers. Why? Because they can't always get it, because they're too thick. The sheep don't really need answers near as much as they need peace. Any shepherd will tell you, it's a calm group of sheep that'll do much better. They'll eat better, they'll live better, they'll be healthier, they'll pay attention. That's what they really need. They need the comfort of the shepherd. They need to lay hold of the shepherd, not an answer. Certainly not independency. That'll be a dead sheep for sure. They need peace, don't they? See, we approach prayer completely opposite of our shepherd. It's not the answers that we need. It's the God of the answers that we need. It's his presence. Is that why you pray? God, I just want your presence in my life. I just need to be near you. I'm no good by myself. I don't need, please don't give me a fix if it's going to send me off and make me be like, think somehow that I'm independent, because I know that's not true, God. It's not healthy for me. It's not the best thing for me. It's not the best thing for my world, and that's why I'm praying. Because I just want to help, and God, I know you're trying to help me. So I'm here to be dependent upon you. If you give me answers, great, because that'll be within the realm of you giving me peace. But bottom line, God, I just need your peace day to day. It's not the answers of God that you're after. It's the peace of God. And that's exactly the way Jesus teaches us. Prayer is, we turned it into something that it's not. We've overcomplicated it. I don't really think you can oversimplify it. But Jesus teaches us how to pray in just about 2.5 verses. Wow. And I've got in my library, in the church here, we have books on prayer. This thick. So Jesus is asked to tell us how to pray. He gives us, 2.5 sentences. And any preacher you ask how to pray, always going to write a 4-volume set. Wow. We've overdone it, haven't we? It's simple. He's our Father. You're his child. Stay with him. Seek him. Know him. Hold on to him. Anybody here speak Spanish? Anybody here like to practice Spanish, go across the river? How many of you learned Spanish when you were in high school? Or did you have to learn? Take a class? Not many Texans here. We have to take it in self-defense here because just the way it is. You go across the river, you know a little Spanish. Do you ever use it? If not, why not? Well, it's Mexico. They speak, not Mexican, but they speak Spanish. So it's kind of, so when someone on, let me ask you this. So when someone on this side of the river who's from Mexico, doesn't speak our language, even though they're not good at English, tries to speak English for you, or are you offended by that at all? Do you just sit there and fold your arms and say, not until she speaks to me in correct vernacular, I will not listen to what she's got to say. And we're scared to speak, aren't we? Why? Afraid we might say it wrong. And that's possible. But you understand, you've got a person over there who's very familiar with the language and you're not, and she or he knows, wow, this is just a white lady. She doesn't know what she's saying. I'll help her. Because isn't that the way you are? Someone speaking to you who you know is their natural language is Spanish and not English, but if they try, well, that's honoring to you. Appreciate them. Hey, trying to speak my language. So let me ask you something with regards to that. Is God any less generous? We come to him to speak to him. Is God just folding his arms and saying, not until you get it 100% right. Not until it's all in order exactly the way I said. Not until you grow up. So your kids, you just sit around and wait till your kids grow up before you listen to a thing they've got to say? Of course not. Of course not. They're your children. You love them. You put up with them. You discipline them. You direct them. You correct them, don't you? You don't let them get away with their stuff. How is God any less generous? Isn't it true that God, don't you know a whole lot more about your kids, especially when they're little, than they know about themselves? And for some of us who've had several kids, the fourth or fifth kid has it the worst because they're the least likely to get away with stuff because, man, you're the fifth one down here, you know. Sorry, I've seen that before. How many kids does God have? See, he knows what happens in our hearts. He knows in our minds. He knows what's coming out of our mouth before it ever does. He knows our longings. He knows our intentions. He knows our wills. He knows our regrets, our griefs, our thanksgivings. He knows all these things. But he wants you to come to him as you are, with whatever you got, whatever level of understanding you have. Come to him by his grace, no matter how eloquent we are when we pray, even if we stammer, right? Even if we don't know what to say. He loves it. He wants it. So let's do that. I'm going to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. God, we're so thankful that you're kind and gracious to us. You teach us how to pray, and then when you do, it's just so simple, so straightforward, shaping us to your priorities because that's the best thing for us, humbling us, God, because that's the best thing for us. Thank you for your patience with us. Forgive us, God, when we've overdone this. We've overthought it, turned it into something that's not. You're a God who loves us. Loves it when we speak to you. Forgive us, God, where in our prayers we've tried to hold you hostage or tried to seek independency. Change us, God. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptistchurch.org.